Well, I was already excited. I've been studying this all week long. The Lord led me to this one morning, and I've just been staying there. But I got on to hear some of the messages at camp, and I wanted to hear Michael Coe, and I believe he's going to speak twice. But I listened to him. I'm telling you, I was so excited. He said, turn to John chapter 9. That is exactly my lesson today. And I thought, I never even thought of it, like for a youth camp. But I was so excited, I couldn't even quit listening. I was just like, I called Shelly, text her and told her, and she said she's going to let Michael know. And I was just like, it's Jesus. I mean, it is the power of the Holy Spirit. He is saying what he knows his people have need of to hear, even the youth. There are some things that I'm going to bring out. Maybe he didn't. He brought some things out, but we are vessels. We are vessels to do as he has called us to do. And I'm just so thankful to the Lord. And we're going to start with 1 Corinthians. We're not going to go there first. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and go down to verse 9. But as it is written, I have not, three things, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And you think about, I even think of Jesus, how in the Psalms, a body thou hast prepared for me. Jesus became what we are. He took our place. And as I read this, it was like, you know, it's so true that eyes have not seen. They're blinded to it. They cannot see. And ears, they really can't hear. And then it's what goes in the heart of man. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth walks. You're able to hear. And if you can hear the word of God and you hear him speaking to you, what a treasure you have. Because it's going to be the treasure in the earthen vessel, that it's not of us, it is of God. So John chapter 9. And Jesus passed by. And when I saw "and," I remembered, well, that's a continuation. So I went back to the verse before. And I went to 58. Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones. Now, this is Jesus. Do you think we're better than Jesus? No. We are alive in him. Christ wants to do in us and then through us. But we must hear and receive the message. Then they took up stones. Here he is. He's saying the truth. They took up stones, they cast it at him. But what did Jesus do? Jesus hid himself and he went out of the temple. When I always see out of the temple, that means they're not accepting truth. So he leaves. There's no room for him there. So he leaves, he goes out of the temple, going through the midst of them, so passed by. Now in chapter 9, and Jesus passed by. What happens when Jesus passes by? Jesus passes by and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Wonder what that man's name is. He didn't give a name. The only name mentioned is the name above all names, and that's Jesus. Jesus is passing by. Then he says, when he did, he saw something. How many people see something and what do they do? Okay, he saw a man, he was blind from birth. And his disciples, which is a learner of him, they ask him saying, Master, who did sin? Was it this man that sinned? Was it his parents? Or he was born blind. Who did the sinning? You see, a lot of people look at things that happen to people and say, well, you must have sinned. You had to have done something wrong. Did he sin when he was in his mother's womb? Did his parents do something wrong? All these things that happen and the way people are born and the way things go in life, you know, it's not always because they walked in sin or walked after the flesh. You know, there's consequences. If you walk after the Spirit, you have liberty. You're free. You will not be brought under the power of the devil, the flesh, or the world. But if we choose to walk after the flesh, you reap of the flesh, okay? Doesn't mean that God won't come in and intervene. That's what I really have had that on my heart. Because when people say, well, they get what they chose. They chose that path. That is so true. Every one of us chose the path one day too. But what did God do? He met you. Some of us, you weren't even looking for him. But he came and he saw you in that condition. What did he do? And I loved it because it even came out of camp and it was in his message. Michael even brought out, not knowing that I had just talked to Isaiah on the phone. And he said, Nana, do you know that if he had 100 sheep, he'll leave the 99 just to go get the one? And I said, yes, but I'll tell you what, that one, when he comes back, don't you think he's going to be worshiping? He's had a change. He's been in the very presence of his shepherd. He's finding out there's nothing out here that's satisfied. It always seems to bring me problems. You can go and walk with God. You'll have trials. But let me tell you, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Everyone comes along, but Jesus saw this blind man. Then all the people, they're saying, well, what did he do? Or the disciples, he had to have done something wrong. Didn't they say that about Job? His comforters came and they go, Job, you had to have done something wrong. Repent. You need to change your heart. You see, they went to comfort him. They're not comforting him. Have you ever had someone tell you, you're a Job comforter? I hate it when I feel really sick and someone goes, you look awful. Thank you. No, comfort one another. We need to be comforted. Don't look at what you see, okay? Jesus saw a blind man, but he's seeing a need, okay? We just heard from Sarah the message. What did she say? Redeeming the time. Jesus said that through her. When you come and you're walking in this world and you see something, that's an opportunity. God may say, I want you to speak. I want you to say something. I want you to do something. That's when you're working the very works of our Lord. That is not you. You are yielding. Then he says, Jesus answers him. Neither hath this man sinned. He didn't sin. Nor his parents. That's not what this is about. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. How many times have you gone through something and when Jesus passed by, he saw a work that needed to be done in you. In you. And he said, it's so he, God, the works of God is going to be made manifest in him. And then I thought of our brother's message about Lazarus. What did he say? This is so you could see the glory of God. So you would, man, it could be manifested to you. That should be your testimony. I came out of a tomb with Christ. I'm a new man. I love what he told Lazarus. What he told them, loosen him and let him go. What was said to Pharaoh, loosen my people. You set them free. You let them go. They're mine. Well, not with a strong right hand. They're not going to try to, you know, they're not going to let go. If God leads you a certain way, do you just yield all of a sudden? Sometimes you do. Sometimes that old flesh rises up and says, I'm not doing it. Not doing it. So, Jesus makes it plain and very simple. They have not sinned. This is so that it will be manifested in him. It's got to be in him first. I must work. I must work the works of him that sent me. I must do as my Father has shown me to do. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. When Jesus left, while he was in the world, he was the light of the world. Now, so send I you. You are the light of the world. This is a dark world. We need more light. We need to take in more truth. And then when you pass by, instead of going, well, they must have sinned. They did a baddie. We'll go, there's a need here. You may just pray to intercede. Lord, put someone in their path. We got to stop seeing through the natural eye and see through a spiritual eye. Jesus saw a blind man, someone who could not see. And he said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. He spat in the ground, and he made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the man with the clay. And I looked in Isaiah 64, and it said, we are the clay. You are the potter. In ourselves, and in that scripture in Isaiah 64, it says, we are of an unclean thing. We were so unclean, but he washed us. He's cleansing us. He's making us grow up now in the Lord. He's changing us from glory to glory. He said, and said unto him, okay, now he's going to talk to him. He's already spit on the ground. He made this clay. He put it on the blind man's eyes. He anointed his eyes. And he said, now I want you to go wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. And that means, which is interpreted, sent. So send I you. What has the Lord told us to do? Wash. Cleansing. Washing of the water by the word. He's not going to force you. He told this man, he put the clay. Well, he couldn't see anyway. But he told him, go and wash. Did he do it? Or did he just sit there? No, I'm not going to do it. I know he'll take care of it. No, he did what he told him to. And he went his way, therefore, and he washed, and he came not blind. He came seeing. God sent him. Jesus sent him for a purpose. Jesus passed by, saw a need, and he healed the need. He went his way, washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is this not he that sat and was begging because he was blind? And here's more of what they say. Therefore said they unto him, how were your eyes opened? And they say also, some said, this is he. Others said, no, he's like him. He said, no, I am he. Have you ever been around your friends and the Lord got a hold of you? And now you're changed. And they go, who are you? Is this Penny? Is that you? You're my favorite partier. Why won't you do that anymore? Some say, what? It looks like her. That is the girl we went to school with. Now she's behind a pulpit? What in the world has happened to you? Is this really you? Who made that change in you? What happened in your life after we left you? What happened? Jesus passed by. And he said to them, therefore said they unto him, how were your eyes opened? And he answers them. And he said, a man that is called Jesus, and Jesus' name is Savior. A man called Jesus, he made clay, he anointed my eyes, he told me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I did, I went, I washed, and when I did, I received something. I received my sight. And they said to him, where is he? Where is this man? Where is he at? And he said, I don't know. I know not where he is. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Wow. Watch what he's going to say. What a minister and a manifestation of Jesus passing by. This little guy has been healed. He's received his sight. Now they're going to take him to the Pharisees? I'm fair, don't you see? I've studied the law. I walk after the law. I do everything that's right. Well, you're really self-righteous. That's all it is. It's filthy rags, it's unclean, and it's no good, and it's not accepted of God. But they take him to them, and it was the Sabbath day. That's another thing. Pharisees, you do not work on Sunday. That's the Sabbath day. One day. They take one day and set it apart. We need to be so thankful that we've been taught, who is your Sabbath? What is your Sabbath? Jesus. He is my 7 days of rest. There's no more work. It is finished. It is receive it. Believe it. Believe it and receive it. That's what it's all about. And he said, well, and it was the Sabbath day. Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Don't you think the Pharisees are going to be a little upset with that? They're going to say he can't be Jesus. He's a sinner because he doesn't obey the law. Then again, the Pharisees who asked him, now he received his sight, he said to them, he just put clay. You know, Jesus just took the dust and breathed into the nostrils of man. He took clay and he formed man. He made him. He's not going to have any problem taking clay and spit and putting it on someone's eyes. He takes the humble. It takes humility to think that something like that he would do. I washed and I do see. He's so excited. He keeps saying, I washed and I see. I washed and I received. I was blind and now I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? Well, how can you? Because my Bible in John 15 says, even us, we must abide in him. Without me, you can do nothing. Do you see where this has come to today? And we're come to the day of God's grace, abiding in him, confiding in him. Everything is done by spending time with him. This man, not of God, he doesn't keep the Sabbath day. You work on a Sunday, you go to work. And I used to be that way. I wouldn't work on a Sunday if you paid me double until God revealed. You see, it's just a little here and a little there. He revealed to that new life in me. You have 7 days of rest. You are resting in the beloved, the finished work. How can a man that is a sinner do these miracles? And now what happens? Now there's going to be division among them. One man does something and everybody's in what? They're all in division. It's confusion to them. They all have a difference of opinion. You ever been around those people? They ask you a question, you give them an answer, and they want to argue about it. They'll still keep throwing all that back at you. No, we just speak the truth. There was division. They say to the blind man again, this poor little guy. But I think, no, really, he's not a poor little guy. Jesus passed by. He's been touched. He's received something so good. And these people are not going to give up. They said to that blind man again. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents. Now they're going to go to a family member. We're going to go to the parents and they ask him, how did he receive his sight? And they answered him and said, they said to them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? Boy, they're questioning everything, but they're still not, they don't receive it. His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We know that. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask of him. Ask him. He'll speak for himself. These words spoke his parents for a reason. They could have just said, Jesus came by, anointed the clay, he spit on it, he anointed the clay, he put it, anointed his eyes, and he can heal. He's a healer of everything. No, they didn't. Why? These words spoke his parents because they were afraid of the Jews. We cannot be afraid to speak the truth. We speak truth. God stands behind the truth, not a lie. And he said those words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if a man did confess that he was Christ, you're put out of the synagogue. They didn't want to be put out. Well, Jesus says a lot of things in the scripture to us. Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. And he tells us to come out. We think we're going to be so alone and all. No, Jesus is there. You're never alone. Sometimes people are put out of pulpits. If you're not going to preach what I tell you to preach, you're out. And there, it started way back, okay? Now they have all these, like, I know a guy right now. If he doesn't preach what the people who put him in the pulpit, notice, not a God thing, the people who put him in the pulpit, they're going to cast him out of the pulpit. And then he'll probably get cast out of the whole church anyway. But we need to know this. We need to know. It costs something to speak the truth. He said, then they go to the man. Okay. Then again, they called the man that was blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Why are you going to praise God when it was a sinner who did this? He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or no, I know not. But I love this. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Do you think that the Lord is going to leave him and just now I see this way? It's the same Jesus that passes by and said, I know you can't see. It was brought out, I'll move heaven and earth. If you want to know truth, but it must come through the power of the Holy Ghost, and it must be truth. And he said to them again, he answers, and I love it. He said, what did he to thee? How opened he your eyes? Didn't the man already tell him? They're not hearing what they want to hear. You see, the law wants to hear what they want to hear, and that's it. He answered them, I told you already, and you did not hear. Therefore, would you hear it again? If I tell you, if I just keep telling you this over and over, are you going to hear me? You really don't want to hear what I have to say. And he goes, will you also, do you want to be his disciples? Do you want to be a learner of Jesus? Then they got mad. They reviled him. Thou art his disciple. You may be learning of him, but we are of Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, this man right here that you talk about, We know not from whence he is. Of course you don't. Because eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has been taken into their heart. They can't even understand spiritual things. That's why we have the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal these truths to us. The man answered, said to them, "Why wherein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and he hath opened my eyes? Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if a man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, it's him that he heareth. If this man were not of God," he said, "he wouldn't have been able to do anything." They answered him again and said, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and you think you're going to teach us? You're going to come to the Pharisees? You're going to try to teach them?" You know, I know a lot of people say, before you teach anybody else, you need to study and get in. But let me tell you something. No, he didn't have time to sit and study anything. We're responsible for the truth that's been made real to us. As much as you have received, you give it out. That's what you're responsible for. And one day he'll say, "What did you do with it? What did you do with what God gave you? Did you hide it because you were afraid somebody wasn't going to like what you said? Did you hide it? I told you to put it on a lampstand. Let that light so shine that when they see you, it's going to glorify your Father, which is in heaven." And he said, and they told him, he said, "You think you're going to teach us?" Then they cast him out. See? Put him out. You're out of the synagogue. Exactly what his parents feared. But Jesus heard they had cast him out. Boy, Jesus never is late. Jesus is always there for him. And when he had found him, Jesus found him. After they had cast him out, and he said to him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, now see, this man knows a man named Jesus came by and touched him and did whatever. He said, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" He's going to learn a little bit deeper. And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Please tell me who he is." And Jesus said to him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that is talking with you." And he said, "Lord," he didn't call him Jesus, "Lord, I believe." And he bowed down and he began to worship him. Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and they that which see might be made blind." They need to see that what they're seeing, they are blind. I like that verse says, "Can the blind lead the blind?" When you don't know truth, it'll be like a blind man leading a blind man. It takes truth to be able to bring forth anything. That's why in the beginning, I love it when Jesus' name was mentioned. And I went over and I looked at about Lazarus, and his name was mentioned. And when you get into Job, they go to him, they mention his name. His name's mentioned in the Word. But when you go over to the man on the Jericho Road, there was a certain man, and he came and he got robbed. People passed by. What did they do? Were they afraid to help? Maybe they'll come get us. Or did they minister God's grace? What did they do to him? They did nothing. They passed by. Jesus passes by. Something's going to happen. And then he says in the very last, some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these things and said to him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth." And he's telling them, I just keep thinking about this man. And how when Jesus passed by, You know, we think we go to Bible classes or we learn this and we learn. Jesus is passing by. And when you see an opportunity, make sure you don't just walk away from them. That is a self-righteous man. I'm too good. You got what you deserved. And I'm telling you, it's said everywhere. You can hear this in churches, families, jobs. Well, he shouldn't have done that. He deserves it. There is a consequence, but there is forgiveness. Did you even stop to see the need and go, do you know you have need of forgiveness? You need Jesus. Redeeming the time as you're walking through a dark, perverse generation, let your light shine, showing what? The way, the truth, and the very life of Christ living in you. Let's all stand.